Welcome back, everyone. It is February 27th, and I'm joined by a very special guest, none other than Dan Maritz, LMBF's hockey expert. Go with the flow. He can be found there weekly if you want to hear his soothing tones and velvety voice. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Cannot complain. Happy to have you on, and happy to talk some hockey. It's been a little while since we've done it, and you know, there are very few better, and I think you, Kevin, and Nick are all at that top peak level when it comes to the guys I want to talk hockey with.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Definitely take that compliment any day of the week, sir.
Anytime. Yeah. The trade deadline has come and gone.
Yeah.
Busy, very busy trade deadline. A lot of smaller moves, but there were certainly some big ones. Let's start at the top, the team that you thought helped themselves the most. Obviously, you know, Columbus spent big, Winnipeg spent big, teams like that. Who do you think did the most for themselves moving forward?
I would say probably Nashville and Vegas. Those two would be kind of two, just from deadline day. Actually, Dallas made a move before the deadline. And getting Matt Zuccarello, I think that's a heck of an addition. The only problem with that as of right now is he's actually injured against the Hawks. He blocked a shot, and so now he's out for 4 weeks. But, yeah, Nashville getting an addition with Wayne Simmonds is tremendous. I've always liked the guy, the way the guy plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hard nose, you know, doesn't give a crap. Can fight if he has to, and then he just buries pucks in front of the net. That's, you know, that's going to become – that's a valuable skill in the playoffs. I mean, you think of recent success with teams, you know, if we want to, you know, talk about our homer Chicago Hawks, you know, in 2010, it was Dustin Byfuglien.
Right.
In 2013, it was Brian Bickle, just big bodies in front of the net. And then Stone, yeah, another guy, talk about big bodies. He's 6'4", like 220, something like that. He's had a heck of a career on a team – he's had a heck of a season on a team that's been very subpar. He's got about 60 points, I think it is. He's a plus 13. And on a team that's been doing so badly, when you look at that plus minus, that's really, I think that really sheds some light into kind of the two-way player that he is. And now finally he'll be on a team that can actually game. So, you know, good for him for getting that move. And then the Jets as well. You know, the Central's looking very dangerous as always. They got Kevin Hayes, you know, kind of miss him on the Hawks, but, you know, another guy that can put the puck in the net and can play that big, you know, sort of physical game that the West sort of demands. Just on a side note, actually, we didn't mention this in the Go With The Flow episode, but Alex Broadhurst also got traded. He is a Chicago native. For all you out there from Moreland Park, he has a brother, I believe, as well, that was drafted. I think both were drafted by the Hawks, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
And then, yeah, Broadhurst kind of bounced around. We'll see if he can, you know, make a difference on the Jets lineup. But, yeah, as far as winners go, I'd say I've got my four: Nashville, Dallas, Winnipeg, and Vegas. If I'm allowed to have four winners, those are them.
Take as many as you want. And ironically enough, it's four Western Conference teams and three of them in the Central Division. You know, Vegas obviously coming off the inaugural season where they made that fantastic run to the Cup. And now you look at it, and they've kind of got like a very legitimate core that they got locked up for quite a while as Stone signed that extension right after the deal. I mean, these are the things that you see contenders do and teams that are, I guess, opening their window do. Real quick, I didn't even plan on doing this, but I guess – of those teams, you got to assume those are probably the favorite. Maybe Calgary, San Jose.
I would say, you know, sort of it could be like a Nashville. Depending on how the brackets work and everything.
Right.
You know, I would probably like to see a Nashville and Winnipeg Western Conference final. I just don't know if that's going to happen based off the way that the playoffs work right now.
Right.
But I would assume at some point those two are going to, if it's not a Western Conference, it'd certainly be a second round matchup. And yeah, those two would definitely be my favorite. You know, kind of depends on goaltending. You know, Rene, you know, we've
very hit or miss.
The Flow Boys, yeah, I mean, he's been definitely on his game as of late the last couple of years. But, you know, you look back kind of prior to their cup runs, or excuse me, their run to the cup against Pittsburgh, and he's sort of, you know, struggled. He's come off, you know, super hot the first couple games, and then he sort of cools off, and teams, either he lets in squeaky goals or teams find, you know, certain ways to kind of exploit him.
Yeah.
And get in his head. So, you know, goaltending is obviously going to be huge. Going along with that, obviously, you know, Fleury is another one, sort of a renaissance to his career coming off Vegas. I fully expect him to be at the top of his game. And if he is, Vegas is going to look, again, very, very, very dangerous. And that building gets rocking, too. That building looks like a lot of fun to go see a game in. So, that's in the West. Actually, I didn't even mention Columbus picking up Duchesne, which I probably should have. You know, that's a great addition. And we sort of touched on the Go With The Flow podcast. We touched on Panarin and Bobrovsky not moving. Which we thought was interesting because it seems like it's a sort of all-in move for this year.
Right.
You could have gotten, forget Bobrovsky for a second, Panarin, you could have gotten just about, you know, you could have been sitting really pretty trading him. Yeah, absolutely. And now you're basically going to get rid of, you know, he's just going to leave at the end of the year. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I got to appreciate the boldness. Do I think Columbus is going to go far in the playoffs? No. I think they could have the potential to finally win a first round matchup, especially with Duchesne and Panarin now. Mm-hmm. But again, it all depends on Bobrovsky. Lately, he's been not so good, but we've seen where he's been really, really good, and he's given you know, the Blue Jackets the ability. You know, we've seen it in the past. He's given them the ability to win games that maybe they have no business winning. So, and
correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they picked up Kincaid too as a backup netminder.
I believe so. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. We were talking about how basically they picked up two guys. Well, Panarin's a winger and Duchesne is a center. But we were kind of talking about how they basically picked up two guys that will effectively replace.
Yeah.
The guys that have already been there. Duchesne obviously being the star forward, and then Kincaid, you know, kind of coming in. I don't know if Kincaid's shown stints where he could be a really good starting goaltender. I don't know if he's there yet. It'll be interesting to see what Torts kind of does with these two additions. I'm excited to watch the Blue Jackets. You know, if I was a Blue Jackets fan, I'd be a little nervous come the summertime.
Yeah,
like we said, because of the contract's ending. But you know, in terms of living in the moment, I'd be very excited. I'm very excited to watch them. I hope they hold their playoff spot. And I hope, you know, they're fun. You know, they're usually my dark horse pick when they make the playoffs. So I don't see that really. I want them to win that first round. I want them to get over that.
Just get over the hump, yeah.
Yeah, just get over the hump and, you know, who knows what can happen from there. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
On the flip side, we've obviously talked about the teams that definitely helped themselves. Who do you think didn't make the right moves, or I guess maybe didn't make moves when you thought they should have, things like that?
I think the obvious one for us being Chicago fans are the Hawks. You know, obviously we've seen kind of their struggles the last couple of years. It's certainly a fall from grace. And another fall from grace would be L.A. as well. Two teams that have both had success in the past, not just 1 year, but multiple years, and neither one of them really seemed to do much. I don't need to get into my feelings over Stan Bowman because, you know, for you listeners that haven't checked out Go With The Flow, we definitely get into that very often, and we don't really, you know, understand a lot of times.
Right.
But, I would say those would be kind of one of those where you're like, well, at least, like, sell, even if you're not going to buy, because you can't at least, you know, get something, you know, out of there. For me, it's always been Artem Anisimov. I've never liked the guy. I didn't like him on Columbus. I thought he was an underachiever. He went to New York. And I thought he was an underachiever there. And when we got him, basically for Saad, you know, at that time I was like, I was absolutely frustrated with that. And maybe that's because Saad said he wanted to stay and then he ended up leaving cause he got paid more. You know, there's
that whole saga with him was so weird.
Yeah. There's a lot more factors into it than just Anisimov, but, he's supposed to come in, be a center that could win draws. We've seen
second line center is what they had hoped
we've seen
for
him exactly. We've seen him fail miserably in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and so for me, his time here is it needs to be done and over.
Yeah.
So for me, that was sort of a move Even if you don't really get something, I just
get them off the books. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a big contract, so it would be nice to have seen him go. I would say those two would be my main sort of losers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a ton of other teams that didn't do much, or that maybe Minnesota's another team. Being up here in Minnesota, you know, the mood is very dark. Because basically they need to go through a full rebuild. It's kind of funny though. I think a lot of Minnesota people were totally on board with the rebuild, but now that they've dumped a bunch of players, I think
they don't really understand what the rebuild entails.
They're sort of second guessing the one. For gosh sakes, why can't I think of him off the top of my head? That was it. Granlund that just left. Fiala. Yeah, that one, I know a lot of Wild fans are upset about that because Granlund is he's definitely a good player. I've seen him play in real life, speed, skill.
He's had great playoff runs with them, too.
Yeah, Coyle was an easy dump for them because he wasn't doing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Coyle is going to thrive in his hometown Boston, but only time will tell for that.
Donato played well in his first couple
Donato's
games.
Been playing decently well. So I think at this point, you know, the Wild need to go on this route where they need to just kind of dump players.
Yeah.
And because it's not working with this group. This group's been around for 3-4 years, and you know, either they'll lose in the first round or they might squeak by and get to the second round, and then they're in an easy out in the second round. So I think re-signing Staal is good. That's leadership. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank to give. He's definitely one of my more favorite players. And then the only other note for Minnesota is Koivu. Not really in terms of contract, just seeing, you know, he's out for the season with the ACL. I believe he's like 38 years old, so he's not getting any younger.
Right.
Hate to see that for a guy like him with the career he's had. Hopefully he can come back, but we'll see what he can contribute to the team next year. I'd say those would be my losers.
Yeah, and we talked about Stone getting dealt to Vegas. You know, obviously mm-hmm. he's going to have a big impact. He was easily the best player on a terrible team.
Yep.
And even statistically, he was a very good player, which is kind of the key. And then Wayne Simmonds to Nashville. Of those two, I guess, who do you rate higher in terms of where they went and the situation they're going into? Obviously, Nashville's a very good team.
Yeah.
Vegas has pieces that's maybe not where they were last year, but they're certainly up there.
Yeah, that's very tough. Vegas isn't, you know, that has been reserved for Tampa this year. That team is just an absolute wagon. But in terms of, I think you have to give Stone the award of going to a better situation just because of how terrible the situation was in Ottawa. I think, technically speaking, I would say Nashville's the better team, but in terms of who got the better new location, I would say it's definitely Stone. Stone, I was just looking at his stats last night for the Go With The Flow podcast. He's just under a point per game player. I believe he has like 611 points in, it's like 660 or 680 games, something
not
like that.
Not at all.
You can't really ask more out of a guy. And he will just – both of them will really thrive with the West's sort of big, brutish, heavy play style. They're both not afraid of contact. Like I said, Stone's 6'4". Like, he'll be used to, getting banged up and bruised. So I think Stone might be – and Stone's probably my choice for who I would rather have on my team. I believe Stone's a little bit younger. Certainly not to take anything away from Simmonds. That guy is an absolute animal, and you know he wants to win. And now he's on a team that definitely has the potential to do so. But Stone, I think, would be the overall sort of winner between those two.
Yeah, and I just realized we talked about the West. Who on the East, I guess, would you say is the favorite as of this point?
I mean, the obvious choice is
Tampa.
Tampa.
Did anyone, did anyone help themselves in terms of getting closer to that level, or is it still Tampa and then huge gap?
Tampa's just, dude, they're just running away with it.
Right.
The ability of that team to score is just second nature. It doesn't come. It never comes hard to them. They went into the shootout last night against LA. Not a good team, but you know sometimes you have those rough games.
Yeah,
and you know you find a way to win. They're the first team to hit the 100-point mark. I'm looking at it right now. The closest team to 100 points are the Calgary Flames, actually, who are at 85 points. So there isn't anyone even sniffing them. I would say probably in the East, the Islanders have been looking good all season, especially considering you know everybody was kind of freaking out when Tavares left and everything, and they seem to be fine without him. Toronto certainly has the potential to turn it on with all the young talent. Austin Matthews, Tavares is an absolute machine, both on the ice and on the bench, apparently. You know, pucks can fly him on the bench, and he doesn't even flinch.
Yeah.
But I would say other than Tampa, Boston would be very good, especially with Charlie Coyle now, assuming that he's able to produce. But Boston looks good. Rask is having a hell of a season this year. And, again, it's really all down to goalies.
Yeah.
You can't. When you're talking about the Stanley Cup this year, you can't not talk about how good Tampa is right now. Honestly, if they don't win, I would be really, really surprised. I think just about everybody. If you were to bet on someone else other than Tampa and you ended up being right, I don't know anything about gambling, but holy shit, you'd probably make so much money. Because I feel like everybody's just hammering Tampa.
We'll have to check the field odds versus Tampa on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we let you go, we appreciate the time. Gun to your head, do the Hawks make the playoffs this year?
Fuck. probably not. I don't know because Kane's playing so well, and actually Taves is, and Strom is, and DeBrincat, and Crawford's supposed to be skating. You know, he got taken off. They sent Delia down.
Biggest weekend of the year, though, last weekend.
The potential's certainly there with those four guys that I mentioned, the way that they're playing, and with Crawford back, if he's able to find his game again, which I have no doubt he will. And with the struggles between Minnesota, you know, kind of Anaheim, they might be able to squeak in. If my phone wouldn't freeze, I could look at where they are.
I think they're, 6 points
out? They're 5 points behind Minnesota. It really hurt them that they lost the last couple games. I'm going to say no. I'm going to stick with my no. I think Dallas definitely stays in, especially with, well, Zuccarello's out for 4 weeks. I think Dallas still stays in. I think Minnesota's out, even though they're in right now.
Yep.
I think it might be Colorado. I think they might be able to turn it on, and I think you're going to see Dallas and Colorado. I think that's going to be my final answer with the gun to my head. I'm going to say no. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Hawks.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the time. As always, you can hear him on Go With The Flow with the boys, Kevin and Nick. Dano, we'll see you soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.